Sorry?
One of the problems you mentioned was the inability to know about contributions to the national newsletter. And as much as the newsletter, I would think is the, well, it's the official organ of the committee, and that's where everything more or less gets heard about. We do have now observing bulletins as well, which can be presented. And I would think that much of what goes into there can be put in the national newsletter. Much of what's in the national newsletter can sometimes be observing bulletins. And perhaps those are two publications both heading towards the same aim.
Well, the major difference, and I should mention this, is that the newsletter goes out to something like 2,500 people, of which approximately 2% are active observers. And if we were to publish Ken's last observational bulletin in the newsletter, it would cost us about $1,000 to do that. As it was, it cost us about $50 to send it out to those people who were interested. This is unfortunately a problem, that it becomes economically unfeasible to print great reams of material in the newsletter, because let's face it, 98% of our members aren't interested in observing.
But what I was thinking of is to refer people to the bulletins in the newsletter.
Right, well this in fact, as you'll notice, is what we've tried to do. We've tried to indicate to the readers where they can get hold of certain kinds of material. And I agree, it's a necessity that we should refer to any bulletins that are being put out in the newsletter. So if the author of the bulletin can send a little note to the newsletter saying such and such is available.
You don't get one?
Oh, I eventually get one.
Each center gets a few copies of this observing bulletin. I know our sometimes get it when it's 20. Well, we get a fair number. And those are distributed to active members through our Director of Observations. But I was thinking that if the specific articles in the bulletins were mentioned, or if reference was made to them through the newsletter, then all 2,500 people would have access to it, at least know what's been printed and where to get it.
This is a good point. Mrs. Fidler, are you keeping minutes by any chance? Good for you. Okay, this item is duly recorded. Yes?
I've had a request from David Dunham about his Queen's Occupation Map, so it's published about 3 times a year at Grand Telescope. They listed it as being a publication offer, and he was wondering whether another meeting on this wouldn't be through our journal or our research.
This sounds like a good idea to me. How many pages of material does that generally?
Just 1 page is fantastic. I'm not with the United States mainly. I think perhaps we're going to have to compare it to the rug and get some more great talks through Canada.
I don't see why this can't be done. There may be a slight problem because of our page size difference. But I think that would be a useful function which our journal could serve, is to publish information of this kind. In fact, we might find it makes our journal rather popular. People may start reading it. Yes?
Mr. Chilton last year made a study into the reasons why it was that the national observing programs weren't functioning very well. And observing is an individual effort, and it's because you're working by yourself, and you can do this by yourself, it would be difficult to put it into a national perspective and get it coordinated. Now, I'm not really aware, and I don't know if some of the other people are really aware of generally and specifically what Mr. Chilton found out from that study. Perhaps he could just mention a few words about that.
Good idea.
Specifically, You said there is a problem. What is the problem? Once we know what the problem is,
well, as you know, the National Observing Program was founded approximately 8 years ago, largely through the instigation of Isabel Williamson from Montreal. And the idea was at that time that we would have expert people as heads of each discipline or commission, if you would like to call it that. And there would be masses and masses of observers out looking at the sky and handing in reams and reams of reports, which would then be duly analyzed and published. Well, it just doesn't work this way. And in my study, which I wrote to each coordinator, and I wrote to the secretaries of all the centers, and I wrote to people that I knew personally who did observe, to people that I had met at General Assemblies, and I said, okay, what's the problem? And it all stems back to this. And without being insulting to the membership, 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent don't observe because they don't know how. So the crux of the matter came down that the observing program, as it was envisaged, wouldn't work through lack of instruction. So on advice from several of these people, I said, okay, let's call it off. People were becoming quite critical of it. The idea that I have now is to keep these resource people available, and from time to time, we will be issuing these quarterly bulletins, and Mrs. Fiddler has one now, which will be out within the next 2 weeks. And the train of thought throughout these bulletins will be how to do it. And I've received several very nice letters saying this is just what we need. The same is true, for instance, of the first one where Rick Lavery introduced his variable star program. And through the basic instructions that Rick put in, we're pleased to say that for the stars in question, the AAVSO is now out of maps for that star. And we are still waiting for the prints on them. So this basically then is going to be the new function of the observing program for the time being, is to instruct, to tell you how to do it. There's no point in saying, well, you know, there's going to be a grazing occultation of ZC4236 if the poor chap in question doesn't know where ZC4236 is. So to sum up, the idea will be educational, and as time goes on, then we will perhaps institute a few more advanced ideas where the advanced people who are doing the observing anyway, there's no use telling them how to do it. They are quite capable of setting up their own programs. We'll tell you about those and then perhaps try and institute a little further, deeper study when that 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent learns how to make a proper observation.
Thank you. Now, is there other, yes?
This communication cost, I've often wondered, because we haven't had that here before, but I'm expecting the cause of economic any conditions that come up, the investment in the paper. Now, if I could head off on a send out to the right to our center, anything that is not covered by journal, or if you want to be pushed, why couldn't they send it up to the center? The center could get in touch with this man and put it in the paper so that the interested people could see it. They, in turn, would be told to go to the monthly general meeting, and they could pick up the literature there. They save an awful lot of setting up people that aren't interested, and the people to go there and get what they're looking for, and get what they've got meetings. That's why I have a problem with people who meet.
Yes, I agree. This is a good idea to try and take advantage of ways of getting things published without incurring the great costs that involves putting, say, 4 or 8 pages into the newsletter.
How is the national newsletter faring after, well, last year the mechanics of the newsletter were just being formulated and how it was to be published?
Well, as far as I know, the mechanics are set up, and one thing I'd be very happy to hear right now is, how is the newsletter doing? You know, I know how it's doing on my end, but how's it doing out in the other end? And I'd be very happy to hear any particular comments and criticisms of the newsletter as it presently exists. How can it be improved? What does it need done to it, and so forth? Well, I'm glad to hear it. Okay. Yes? Some centers send it quite regularly. Yours does, and Ottawa does, and a couple of others. The other center newsletters, I have to rummage around the library. One problem is that I find that, and this may be surprising, that there's very few things from the center newsletter that have national interest. You can occasionally find something that does, and certainly this article by David Levy from the Halifax Center was a prime example of something that really deserved wider circulation. But often the things in the center newsletters are so much an in-group type of thing. They carry things that are of interest to the center. Now, this brings up the possibility that often the editors of the center newsletters may find material which they don't quite know what to do with. They can't afford to publish it themselves, but it may be of interest. And if you think it has national interest, then please send it to me, because I'm dying to get suitable material. But I would like to hear what comments you might have about the newsletter. That's why we're having this open meeting. So your comments on this and any other aspects of our national observing programs and so forth, that's what we want. Si?
Mr. Chilton had mentioned that there was a lack of instruction that was responsible for our lack of activity. Actually, that comes as a surprise to me. I would have thought it was just a lack of interest and a lack of willpower. But he brings up a point here that I hadn't realized before. And that might just be the crux of the matter. If it is a lack of instruction, and if the national, at least if the observer's goals are a way of increasing, bringing knowledge to the observers, perhaps some sort of arrangement can be made with the individual directors of observations within each center. You see, as much as, at least I'm not sure how it operates in other centers, but in our own, we have director of observations, and he handles all observational activities. And if some sort of direct arrangements can be made with this one person who is chiefly responsible for observations in each center, because he is the person who should be responsible for instructing people in the center, that some sort of communication might be arranged to do, rather than this haphazard observing goals and looking at observers.
Yes, I think it's very important for our committee to know who the kingpins of the observing programs are. I don't know exactly who they are. I try and figure out from the newsletters who is really active in observing. And it's the list of these people that we want, because we know that if we can get in touch with these people, then these people are going to be the ones who can pass it on to other members of the center. Otherwise, we may send something out to the secretary of the center, and he may not really even know what to do with it. But if we send it to the active observers, then we hope that they will pass it on, and also in passing it on, to try and teach some of these skills to other members of the center. I think this is the way that the education can be carried out.
I'd like to make a complaint, John. These directors of observations are rather reticent, it seems, to release anything which they have found. I, for instance, have to wait periodically, for instance, to find out what the Montreal Center is doing in observations until their newsletter is coming out. And it would be very nice if I, as coordinator, could hear from each center on a regular basis by mail saying, we are doing this, and we're doing this, and we're doing this. Because I know that a person will say in X center has no idea what Y center is doing. And it would seem to me that at some time an article would appear in the national newsletter saying that observing, we'll say, in Niagara Falls consists of the following types of activities, whereas in London, the program consists of this and that. And it would be quite advantageous, I would think, in many, many disciplines, to put the observers with similar programs in touch with each other. And at present, these tightwads don't seem to want to do this. But we're supposed to be encouraging communications between centers. But if the guy in the middle, and namely me, has no idea what the center is doing, well, there's not going to be any communication. Why? Because going back to the old program, which started in Montreal, I will say quite plainly that only once did I ever receive any observations from Montreal. There were 14 drawings of Mars in 1969, and you, sirs, are among the worst offenders for not responding to things that are sent to you.
Yes. Well, one of the problems there is that in the case of the newsletter, there is a finite and sometimes variable delay between when I can send material in and when it gets into the hands of the members. Way back at the beginning, we tried this business of publishing ephemerides of comets and things like that, and we found that by the time they got into the members' hands, they were dead, and we couldn't predict far enough ahead anyway. I think the solution is, again, if we have a list of the most active observers, I mean, then we can send things out on something like 2 days' notice, but we can't do this through the newsletter. For the newsletter, we need things of more lasting nature, and I think the sort of things we'd like are articles of inspirational and instructive nature. And again, I call your attention to that article by David Levy on the art of comet hunting. If I could get 2 or 3 contributions like that every 2 months, then we'd be all set, because I don't know what you thought of it, but I was very impressed with it.
Section, send out bulletins, and I never really know what happened. Most things that are rarely here, people who are actually here from the police.
But perhaps they don't need
an
answer. In the first, well, at least in the last observing bulletin that came out, I just threw in a one-page article on how to do photo-visual observations of the moon. It was a type of article where I didn't ask for a response because I knew I wouldn't get one. But at least the instructive element was in there, and it was made available to other interested observers. If they wanted to try it, well, there's the method. And if you ask for a response, you very rarely get it anyway.
Right.
So why ask for it?
I think that's a good point. The best we can do is to keep trying.
Yeah, but people, you know, it's not that they're not interested, it's just that they never get around to putting a pencil to paper.
Yes?
Well, I can make a suggestion that's been kicked around in the auto center for a number of years, that we have some sort of, not a Canadian cellophane, but some annual get-together somewhere in Ontario. That seems to be where the bulk of the people are.
Well, who was it that was telling me about the proposed one for next summer of the Niagara Hamilton Toronto group?
Bob Lang.
Would you like to say something about that?
Yes, next year we're trying to make a motion here. I'm contacting every senator that I can. Next August we're trying to set up a get together in the Niagara Frontier. This all invites all senators across Canada to make it. We should have a camp out to compare telescopes, observational procedures, their individual programs that they're carrying out in their centers, and also make up any joint programs between themselves from another center. I'll be sending out the police center next year on this point, and I'd like to give comments if I turn me over to the office and do send this up. You'll get a 6 month notice on it.
I think we all agree that this sounds like just the sort of thing that we've been waiting for, and I think if we can throw ourselves behind this, see how it works the first year, I think that this particular location would probably be central for at least the bulk of us. Might not be close enough to Ottawa for some people, but does this sort of thing meet with your approval, Rick?
Is this an annual affair, or is this just a one-year sort of thing?
I'd like to set it up first as a trial occasion, and then at that meeting, when the total this family, the weekend or a week seminar, if you want to call it that, you can make your own motion at that meeting whether you want to make it an annual event or not. This will be a trial run.
Yeah, it sounds like the sort of thing that might, like the General Assembly, be passed around from place to place and become
an...
Is that this summer or next?
No,
that's,
no
Mars.
I mean next year.
No Mars next year.
Mars.
I might say too, just to clarify, just exactly what we're talking about. There is in the Hamilton, Niagara, and Northwestern New York area a very loose. And I say very loose, I mean very loose, Federation of Astronomical Societies called the Niagara Frontier Council of Amateur Astronomical Associations. And the Hamilton, London, and Niagara centers belong to it, as well as American clubs from Buffalo, Erie, Syracuse, Rochester, Elmira, New York, and so on. And the main idea to start with was to exchange speakers, because when you work up a talk to give it members night to your club and you give it once and it's lost. So we said, well, okay, you know, John Brown gave this to our club. Would you like to have it? And we meet twice a year to arrange these speaker exchanges. And the feeling now in the NFC AAA is that perhaps it's time to begin a little more complicated activities. And the idea came up that perhaps a cellophane type thing where you bring your telescope and set up your tent in the field might be of interest to the people in that area. And I can see where those who go to Stellafane would certainly not mind 2 weeks later doing it all over again, because it is great fun. So this is a little bit of the background behind that. Rick, you look troubled.
Yeah, I just wondered, I'd like to see the National Society behind this.
Well, this seems like a reasonable sort of thing. It's just a matter of how we can best work with these people who have instigated. I wouldn't want to take it out of their hands, and especially and mess it up. But as I say, I think that we should back this up 100%, and if we can help it out morally or financially for that matter, and let's do so. Yes?
I'd like to draw it back and throw myself in the mercy of the meeting and say that I'd much rather prefer the suggestion back to the fellow who had much more knowledge about these kind of occasions. Or an idea of mine, because I can now have the football for yourself. Now, here's the football. You carry it.
Thank you.
Bob, I'm not sure how our American friends are going to like that, but certainly it seems that anybody who says he's an RASC member is automatically an expert on astronomy and really active. This is the impression they give us anyway. And I don't think they would be offended if the National Society would sponsor something like this. I'm sure they'd only be too delighted. This is a long way to Vermont from Ontario, from here anyway.
On this one page handout, you had mentioned an unofficial partnership between Toronto and St. John Centre, which would be very beneficial. Could you explain that at all? What sort of partnership is this?
Well, only in the sense that having corresponded with Mrs. Russell in St. John's, we felt that they might be interested in, for instance, receiving copies of our center newsletter, and we found out that indeed they were. And it's very little extra effort for us to put these out, and in return they sent back some indication of the sort of things that they were doing, and they are invited to be contributors to our newsletter, and we're happy to put them in touch. So it was, of course, a great pride for us when we found out that Mrs. Russell was coming down here and we could meet her and find out what was going on there. But I think if this could be extended so that other centers could take advantage of things that might, for instance, be published in our newsletter and vice versa, they could send us some indication of what they were doing.
I might add, John, that
our biggest detriment is geography.
It
yes.
is. It is. I think this is the source of every problem that our society faces, is the great distance from Victoria to St. John's. It's fine to have the British Astronomical Association, but you can practically throw a stone from one side of that association to the other. Almost.
I might add too that the last point there, that other centers have seemed to have taken up the ball, and your presence here at this time is proof of that, because the Niagara Falls Center has been equal partners with the Hamilton Center in organizing this General Assembly, and we also send them their our newsletter and have encouraged them to contribute, and sure enough you will find an article from a Niagara Falls Center, Bob Winder, in the present issue of Orbit. And I'll say too that there is a great deal of cooperation now between the London and Windsor centers, and they are always having common meetings. The Windsor gang gets on a bus and they all come to London, or the London group go down to Windsor, and it seems that this happens about every 2 or 3 months. So there is a lot of this thing going on, and I can see Dr. Higgs there nodding. Evidently Ottawa must be up to something too. Great, because I see Kingston is down to 7 members, and I think something like this is highly desirable. So those centers with lots of money and lots of active members get busy and adopt a smaller center and help them out.
Is there any other discussion?
Bob,
yes.
Langigan.
No discussion, but could you outline your plans for the coming year and what you would perhaps, for both of you, would like to see, what direction the CLCOCA should take? Any change in policy or something?
Well, I see no change in policy. I think that the situation is this. We know what we would like. We've known what we would like for 8 years or 10 years or 15 years. And we've never found it yet. We keep trying, we keep twisting a few arms. I think the only way that we're going to get what we want is to encourage every one of you who feels able, and I think that includes everybody, to ask yourself what you could contribute to astronomy on a national level, whether it be a short article for the newsletter or some ideas on how we can get observational material back and forth more easily. Yes?
On your last remark, sir, I'd like to make a motion here that we give our most confidence in the editor and to the current newsletter as issued as a date that we can put it over the past.
Well, thank you very much. Are there any other comments? If not, I can say that it's been the most peaceful COCO meeting for 3 years now, and in view of the number of people coming in, I suggest that means it's time for the annual meeting. There's no pressure on you, so if you have any other comments, I gather not. So this meeting is adjourned, and we'll turn the meeting over to the National President.
Thank you.